The new Carl's Jr. Midnight Moonshine Burger. It's not for everyone. It's not for you if you once tried moonshine, then call the cops on yourself. And if your idea of bootlegging is illegally taping your favorite jam band, it's not for you. But if you like the sweet burn of moonshine glaze on Black Angus beef, it's for you. The Midnight Moonshine Burger. Only at Carl's Jr.
For a limited time, participating restaurants, click product contains trace amounts of alcohol. Midnight Moon is a registered trademark of Piedmont Distillers Incorporated, Madison, North Carolina.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen, a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. I typically work with published authors, helping them to turn their books into presentations, introverts, helping them to step out from behind the computer, and advocates, helping them to step up and share the message they're passionate with. I'm delighted to be with you today, this morning here in Australia, afternoon over in North America. Just a reminder for the numbers to check in. If you're in North America, you want to call in 646-716-7979. And if you're outside North America and you want to call in for a chat, tobtr.com/877-1261. Today's guest is Deborah Fay. Deborah is the principal publisher of MJL Publications and an author. I will be speaking with Deborah soon, and we will learn more about Deborah and how having a book and a communication process can help you step up and speak out in business and life. Today's frequently asked question, the one that I get asked quite often, is what are the characteristics of a good speaker? And over my years of speaking, 20 years plus, talking to other speakers, talking to audiences, surveys that I've done, the top thing that people say make a great speaker is authenticity. That's letting your passion and your personality shine. When you do that, you can then connect with your audience. And that happens to be one of the other characteristics, knowing and connecting with the audience. Then we've got humor, audible, being able to hear people, body language and vocal variety, knowing your goal, your structure of your presentation, respect for time, which is one of my biggest issues, I think is an absolute requirement, and storytelling. We've spoken about storytelling before, but I think storytelling is absolutely vital with making that connection with the audience. And it's something that Deborah is herself very passionate about. So when we get to speak with Deborah, we'll be looking at storytelling and how that can help you stepping up and speaking out. As usual, I will be sharing tips and techniques and strategies each show. If there is something you would like answered, email me on info@trishell.com.au. That's info, I-N-F-O, at trishell, trishell.com.au. And tune in to the next show to hear your answer. Now it's my absolute delight to introduce our guest speaker for this morning's show. Let's meet our guest, Deborah Fay, principal publisher, MJL Publications, and author. In addition to being a publisher, Deborah is also the author of Six Keys to Happiness, creator of the 21-Day Body Love Challenge, and one of 15 authors who contributed to the book Domestic Detox. Deborah recently published the book Parenting a Child on the Spectrum, which brings 25 authors together to raise awareness of autism spectrum conditions. Deborah has a background in counselling, and today Deborah is going to share the Fern process from her book Six Keys to Happiness, a four-step process that dramatically enhances and promotes self-awareness and communication, which works well for everyone, but is particularly good for children and adults on the spectrum. We're also going to be looking at and discussing with Deborah the value of finding your story and sharing it. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Trish. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you, Deborah?
I'm doing very well, very well. It's a lovely day here, and it's a great opportunity to be talking to you and to be raising awareness around autism. As you said, it's Autism Awareness Month, so great time to be talking about the new book.
Just before we get into the book, and we'll have plenty of time to speak about that, tell us a bit about your background. Where have you come from? What you're doing now? How did you get there? Your story in a little bit.
So my husband and I have been married for 27 years, and right from the first year that we were together, we started a business, and we ran that for 18 years, and then we left that, and my husband went and worked for someone else. So I started working for myself, and I studied counselling, and on top of that, did things like Louise Hay program. Many people are aware of Louise Hay today. And just working with people around resilience skills. So there's a program that I'm a facilitator for, which is a Friends program, and it's for children and teenagers, and it's about building resilience and becoming strong emotionally, I guess. So that's really the area that I like to work in, is self-awareness and being able to express yourself in a way that helps you to meet your own needs or get help meeting your own needs. And it's probably important to me because that's something that my family and I have had to learn over the years. And they do say that we teach what we need to learn, don't they, Trish?
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's my background. And then I actually was helping out a friend and suggested we put a little ebook together around stories of people who've cleaned up their lives in terms of chemicals. So getting chemicals out of their environments and out of their diets and how that's impacted on health. And when we put the ebook together, we decided we'd do a little bit more research and ended up doing a printed book. So that was my launch into publishing. And since then, I've published my own book, which is The Six Keys to Happiness, and then just recently another compilation book, which is Parenting a Child on the Spectrum. So that's how I got here, Trish. Have I still got you? We're experiencing that thing they call lag. Oh, look,
they
that's clear
that.
Now. I hear you.
Ah, good.
Yes.
Brilliant. I love technology, Kate. Now, MJL Publications, I just wanted to know what MJL stood for.
So my counselling business is my GC life, and because the outcome that I'm looking for my clients is a juicy experience of what they're living, not to fix everything, but to be able to get the most out of their life and really experience it fully. So my GC life was very appropriate there. And the publications, because it's really just an extension of what I'm doing there, just became MJL, My Juicy Life. So, but it's a very, very long name for a business is My Juicy Life Publication. So, of course, MJL was a great way to go.
Absolutely. I love it. I just love My Juicy Life. And I think whenever I look at it, I think, oh, wow.
Yeah,
we'll see how we go with that. And I think it's a really great name.
We all have stuff in life, don't we, Trish? Everyone is going through stuff. Everyone is dealing with stuff. And, you know, if we don't enjoy or we can't get into the richness of what's going on, what is the point?
I agree. I mean, I think because that probably leads us to talking about stories, because that's what our lives are, our stories. And sometimes I speak to a lot of my clients, and you probably have the same, that people say, oh, we don't have stories. It's amazing, as you'd like to share with us, just how you discover the stories, because I know that's one of the things you love doing.
I do love that. I love. So as a counsellor, helping people to look at their story, to tell their story, to share their story and explore their story, it's a great way, and as they say, it's cathartic to be able to write your story and really go back over things and look at things, and if that's where you need to go for healing. So if there's things that have gone on in your life that you've not dealt with, that you've not faced, there really isn't a better way to resolve those things than to go back and not just look for problems, but look for strengths. Look for the wonderfulness, look for the richness and the juice in what you've experienced. And then you bring that to the present moment and you've got a whole different experience of the same story. And then to validate that, to be able to publish that story or stand on a stage and share that story is such a validating experience. And you turn something that might have been not so good for you in the past into something that is useful and something that will benefit other people greatly. So you can understand why I get excited about helping people to share their stories.
Absolutely. I have the same sort of excitement from a different perspective. In fact, I was actually speaking about that at a workshop I was presenting yesterday. I was talking to people, as you said, we don't always know our own stories. And the power of it, though, is when we do take the courage to step up and share those stories, whether through a book or, as you said, from on stage, you just don't know how many people you could be affecting. There could be just one or two words or just one particular incident in your story that resonates with someone who's reading it or listening to it that could be changing their lives, that could help them to get through an experience. And as I often say to my mentoring clients, it's selfish not to share your story because you don't know who that could be affecting.
I loved hearing that the other night. Being silent is being selfish, you said. And I thought, that is perfect. I'm stealing that and I'm going to use that one. Yeah.
Absolutely. It is. Because it takes courage. But if your story or some words that you say help someone else, how can you not share that either in your book or when you've done your book, getting up and speaking about it or sharing it? And that's why I resonate. I think we resonate so well because we are so passionate about the stories that we share. And that really brings me to something I wanted to talk with you particularly. And April is Autism Awareness Month. You have a very special project and it's very important to you. So would you like to share that particular story with us?
Yes, thank you. I have a child that was diagnosed with an autism spectrum condition when he was 7. He's now 23 and living a beautiful, healthy, happy life. Very functional, more functional than me, I think, in many, many ways. And he, was the seed or planted the seed for me when I was a young mum and looking for support. I used to read a lot of books that were just short stories, didn't have a lot of time. I don't think many parents do really have a lot of time for reading great long novels. But I really liked inspiring stories that were short, and I thought it'd be great to have a book of short stories and inspiring stories around raising children on the spectrum. And that idea sort of stuck with me for quite a while, but I certainly wasn't in a position to do something about that then. And then recently, having gained the skills around publishing and the confidence that goes with that, I thought, yep, now's the time. So put the call out and ended up with 25 different authors. And the book was has been published. We launched it for sale on the 2nd of April, which is World Autism Awareness Day. And tomorrow, actually, Saturday the 30th, we're having a formal book launch, and we'll end up at South Bank in Brisbane, where the Victoria Bridge will light up blue. So quite an exciting time tomorrow. And the awareness that we've been able to build through this month has been an incredible journey all by itself. So each of the authors has taken the courage. You talk about it takes courage to share your story, but all found the courage to step up and share some of their most vulnerable moments and some of the challenges that they've had to face and how they've overcome them, and the types of attitudes come through as to, you know, what you need. And sometimes you've got to dig really deep to find the character that you need to be able to pull through sometimes. It, you know, it can be very challenging for some families. So, you know, that's the sort of book that we've put together, a collection of beautiful stories that are real, that are true. The authors are vulnerable and brave and courageous. And, you know, the inspiration then comes from them sharing their stories and just letting other people know you'll be okay, you know, that you are not alone and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And just hang on and don't give up, because, you know, your child can have a happy, healthy experience and successful experience of life. Just hang in there. So that's the premise of the book, Trish.
Absolutely brilliant. I think it's a fabulous book. And probably I should share that I am one of the contributing authors to that book. From my experience, it's been a very humbling journey, because I don't have a child on the spectrum. My chapter is about having the courage to stand up and be an advocate for your child. But what I've found has been absolutely awe-inspiring for me is reading all the stories from the other authors who have contributed to that book. So it's a very valuable book for anybody. And I would say not just for people with a child on the spectrum, but for people who may be dealing with other issues with their children, to be able to read the stories of how these people have coped, I think it would be valuable for them too. Would you not agree?
Yes, a good basic parenting handbook, and certainly gives you perspective that might be a little bit different to, you know, and I think changing perspective is the thing that helps us to get by in a big way. You know, if you're not having a good time, get more information, have a look around, get a different perspective, and, you know, it does help you through. So, yes, for other parents with children, if they're having any sort of issues, and parenting is difficult at the best of times. You know, it is challenging, and, you know, we do have to step up and grow, you know, in order to be able to fulfill that role adequately, I think. So when you've then got some developmental issues or some behavioural issues, some learning difficulties maybe, it doesn't even have to be huge. As soon as you're outside the box, you know, that's when you start to feel any isolation or overwhelm. And that's when you really need to connect with other people and know that, no, you're not alone. It will be okay. You know, there is a way forward for you that will work. And and of course, the advocating, you know, is so important when you've got a child that doesn't fit a normal description. That child needs someone to step up and speak out for them quite a lot and quite clearly and quite strongly. So, you know, your chapter is invaluable in that way, you know, and just helping people to know how to do that, how to step up. And, you know, it just, I guess, until, again, I'm going to come back to, until you have a child that's sort of outside that, the normal square, you don't realise just how important it is.
Absolutely. And I think the two things from what you've just said that really resonate with me is that you're not an island, you're not alone. And very often in those situations, you feel alone. So it's really valuable to realize that. And the other thing that I think really resonates with me is you'll be okay. Other people have got through it. And it's really good to be able to think that, well, I'm still going to be okay. We're still going to be okay. The family is still going to be okay. We just have to approach things from a different perspective.
Yes.
And I think those and two then things really.
Those authors have all shared the ways in which they've moved forward successfully. So, you know, there's even strategies in there that people can explore for themselves. And, you know, every child that's on the spectrum has different needs. So just like being a human being, we all have different needs. So if, you know, there's someone in that book, because there's so many different stories, there'll be someone in there with whom you resonate. There'll be, you know, a similar reason why you've wound up in, you know, where you are, and you might find that those strategies that they've used will be appropriate for you. So there's also that advantage with the book.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, that's the third very valuable thing that we can take away from our listeners is that everybody's different, everybody's got different needs, and when you've got a book like this which gives you so many different stories, there is absolutely certain that in one of those stories you're going to resonate with someone else who's just maybe doing something a little bit similar to what you've
yes.
got in the situation you have. One of the things I was just going to say
that it's not just for parents though too, the book, so we're starting to get a little bit of feedback in now from people who have read the book, and one little bit of feedback that we received was from a school officer who's working in learning support, and her comment was how much it's helped her to understand what the children that she's working with are going through at home and in their lives in general, and it's helping her to understand how to better approach them and help them with their learning. So it's not just, you know, for the parents. And this morning at a networking breakfast, you know, a woman approached me when she heard what I'd written. She's from a music school, and she said they have a lot of children on the spectrum that come to them. And she said, you know, it would be great to be able to give the other teachers an insight into the lives of some of the children they're working with. And she thought the book would be good for them. So we'll follow that one up. But, yeah, just so you know, even specialists, you know, probably doctors and, you know, GPs that don't necessarily specialise in this area, it probably would be a good resource tool as well.
Absolutely. I've actually had a couple of people I've been speaking to as well who said, oh, look, I need to get that book because I have a child in my class, or I know a friend who has whose children are on the spectrum, and it'd be really great for me to know sort of how to approach them, because people who don't have the children, they're quite often not sure, well, what should I do? How should I talk to them? You know, I've got
yeah.
a friend. How can I go round to the house? What should I be able to be doing? So, yeah, it's breaking the barriers of not
yes.
being able to know how to speak to people in that context.
Yes, and it gives you a clue as to what you can expect, and
yeah
you can actually help other people instead of, you know, possibly just pulling back and or putting up a bit of a brick wall, or you know, through a lack of understanding.
Great. Where could people get a copy of this? I think it's a good time for us to direct people who might be interested in learning more of where they could get a copy of this book from you.
Simply go to mjlpublications.com.au and go to the shop. It's in there.
And I would urge everybody who's got an even remote interest that it would be a very good book for them to read. And it's not a hard book to read. It's very simple and easy. You get hooked and you sort of got to go from one story to the other. At least that's what happened with me when I sat down and got my copy and I got a chance to read all the stories. I was sort of like, oh my gosh, what's the next one? I need to go further and further. It was a great
Even yours is a great story. You know, it's not just about you do this and you do that, you know, to advocate for your child. There's actually a good story in there.
Oh, Absolutely. And you'll just have to get the book to read that one, or we may discuss that at another time. I just want to take some time out now, just a moment, and just to remind everybody who's listening, if you want to call in with a question or a comment, please do so. In North America, it's 646-716-799. And if you're out in North America, just follow that Listen Live link that I gave you for dobtr.com 877-1261, and just follow the information there to get into the chat and leave your comment or question there. We are speaking with Deborah Fay, who is a publisher of MJL Publications and an author. We've been having a really great discussion about her latest book, which is she has organized, which is Parenting a Child on the Spectrum. We've been talking about the issues of having a child on the spectrum and the value of that, and specifically because April is Autism Awareness Month. Thanks very much, Deborah, for sharing so many things with us so far. One of the things I'd like to ask you is, I know because I've been speaking with you over this past month, and you've been very heavily involved in the media and in raising awareness about your book and about autism. And I wondered if you could take a little bit of time, perhaps, just to share with us some of the issues or lessons that you may have learnt over this past month.
Yeah, with regard to the promotion and stepping up and speaking out myself. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you said some things earlier in introducing the show about knowing your message, knowing what it is that you want to say, and being clear about that. I think that's very important. So then when somebody asks you, you know, you can very clearly state, you know, I want you to know this. And this, I think this is important. And in doing so, I think you really identify, or more to the point, your tribe really identifies with you. And if people don't identify with you, they're not your tribe. So, you know, you're really putting out from that the beginning who it is that you're talking to, and, you know, getting that clear message out. I think too, being a little bit tenacious, if you can be a little bit tenacious, you know, you've got to have commitment around getting the message out there. That also helps. So when you are passionate, and we've already talked about, you know, how we're both quite passionate about people telling their stories. When you are passionate, you want to tell people about what's going on. And, of course, my story is about getting other people's stories out there right now and in the terms of, you know, this particular book. So I'm very clear about telling that story and what it's about and who it's for. So, again, it's, you know, clarity. Don't let fear stop you from reaching somebody that might need to hear what you have to say. And that's why I like your little statement, being silent is being selfish. To begin this media blitz that we've had, I did an almost 15-minute interview on the ABC radio here. And afterwards, I was connected with a woman who listened to the radio interview, and when she heard it, she lives on a property, she's quite isolated, and she has a 21-year-old daughter with an autistic spectrum condition, and she heard the interview and said she just burst into tears. She just thought that she was alone, and what she was dealing with was beyond help. And it was even serendipitous, I guess, that we even came to speak afterwards. But the fact that we did speak, and I actually found out that was just one person that heard that interview that got the message very clearly. So what I have to say about this book and about autism and about reaching out to people is not for everybody but it is for some people. And that's who I want to talk to. And that's why I will be tenacious and I will keep stepping up and I will keep voicing this and giving those people the opportunity to hear the message and connect. So they do know they're not alone and they do know that it will be okay and they do know where to start looking for help. So does that make sense, Chris?
Oh, look, I think it does. I wanted to sort of delve into that a little bit more because often people do have a story or they've got a message or they have written a book and they are, you know, especially sort of who I mentor, most of the clients I mentor, and they're not quite sure what to do with it once they've done it or how to. And I thought some of the lessons, because I know I've been watching you this month and we've talked a couple of times about some of the frustrations and things that you've had. And I thought it would be really good for you to share that so people could see some of the things they need to put in place if they've got something that they're very passionate about and they want to share. I thought that was very worthwhile. And maybe perhaps some of the frustrations. What didn't work or what did you find that was blocking you? Because it's really great to hear some of the things that have been successful and it has been extremely successful. But it's also good to sometimes delve behind the curtain to see what's not been quite working and how did you work around that?
Okay, so probably straight up, one of the first things that comes to mind in terms of blocks or frustrations, one is not having enough time to write enough press releases. So it does take time to get your message right for the audience that you're writing for. So, you know, if you're writing for the local paper, you want to do a press release, it's different to writing for an interview on the ABC radio. So, you know, it's a different demographic. It's a different ball game, actually. So you've got to think about who you're writing for, and finding time to do that it's this media thing and this, you know, getting your message out there really is a full-time job. And you just have to give it the time because not everybody sees your press release and goes, oh, wow, I must print that on the front page, you know, or I must have that person in peak hour, you know, drive time radio or on the TV. So you've got to really, this will come back to being tenacious. You've got to be committed to getting your message out there. And when those blocks come, don't let them stop you, you know, and don't let fear of rejection stop you. You will get rejected. Ask the next person or go back and ask the same person in a different way. Give them something else. Just keep at it. And that has probably been one of the biggest things that I've learnt in this last month with regard to getting the promotion out there and getting the media attention has been stick at it. Stay committed to your message. Don't let anybody tell you that your message isn't important. Just keep looking for new outlets and new ways of getting your message out there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I guess, did you have a plan going into this or were you sort of learning as you went along?
This particular time, learning as I went along. Because a couple of things happened that I didn't realise could even happen. So, and suddenly I had a lot of media coming in. And so I actually engaged somebody, a media coach, to help me to prepare to get the most out of the media attention that I was getting, which then helped me to attract more media attention, if that makes sense. So, yes, a plan would have been ideal, but it all really snowballed quite quickly on this occasion. But next book, I've got a plan and I will be planning it right from the, you know, day one when I put the call out for authors for the next position. It will be, okay, I'll start working on press releases and what sort of a platform I'm going to come from when the launch comes. You know, like on this occasion, we had the, you know, a major bridge in Brisbane City lighting up blue for autism and for us, for our book launch. And that is just enormous. You know, it's a worldwide campaign that you know, we've been a part of. And, you know, that lit up for us, for 25 authors, which is just amazing. So, you know, trying to top that for the next book is going to be a little interesting, but that's what I'll be working on right from the beginning.
I'll be waiting to see exactly what you decide to do next time.
Yeah.
We had bridges time. Maybe we go for something else, depending. And yes, it is. Congratulations on that, because I don't know, some of our listeners might not be aware, but on the 2nd of April, there were a lot of places around the world that did light up blue, and it was really quite fabulous. You did some great work there to get this bridge in Brisbane lighting up blue. But do you want to share a little bit about how that came apart?
That was an idea from my media coach. And this, when I said I wasn't actually prepared, you know, for this month of promotions, that's the reason. It's because that a week before we were launching, this opportunity came up and we got approval for the bridge to light up. And all of a sudden, we had a whole different platform from which to launch. This is, you know, now we're talking a worldwide audience and, you know, so different to just a local audience and local promotion, whole different ball game. So, you know, that's how the ABC Radio became involved, because it was a little bit more their market, I guess, than you know, just a local event.
That was, it added extreme value to that. So anybody out there who's listening, who's looking at that, I think probably one of the things they could take away is look for a hook, because that's basically what we're talking about. Look in your local area or around your area for a hook that can tie into what you're doing, and then go for it. Get somebody on side to help you. Sorry?
Think big.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't think on the same level that you normally think. Think, if I was going to take this bigger, what could I do? And then
I think you're quite right. It's amazing, isn't it? We don't realise, because we often get involved in our stories or in our own close group, we don't realise just how much that this could influence everybody. And we do think small. So think big, think globally.
And be willing to get out of your comfort zone. That is such a big thing that I've learned in the last month. And probably the value in having a media coach is, you know, while I was way out of my comfort zone a lot of the last month, and she was there to just say to me, okay, look, just remember, this is where you're going. This is why you're doing it. This is the message. And you know this. And that's all I needed to hear. And I just trusted and have just kept going. So, you know, be willing to be out of your comfort zone, because we never experience anything new and anything exciting in our lives if we don't do something new, do we?
Oh, I'm a very big one for that as well. I think if we stay too much in comfort zone, we stagnate. We can become complacent and we don't move forward. And well, as you say, it's pretty scary. You get out of that comfort zone, you are moving forward, and amazing things happen when you move forward. If you stand still, nothing much happens, which isn't what you want. I think we can also say that the value of having a coach or a mentor can be immense in any project that you are involved with. I think that's something that you've taken away from this one.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, number one fear for a lot of people is public speaking. So, you know, to have a mentor like yourself to help people through that, just on its own, let alone whether you're public speaking on the radio or being interviewed for a newspaper article, or, you know, whether you're talking about your own book, either way, you know, to have someone there to encourage people to get that structure right and know their message, be clear about it, and practice. I'm sure that you tell people to practice, you know, because that's very important. But, you know, to have all those other things in place can make that out of comfort zone experience a little more doable, for want of a better way of putting it.
I think doable is a good word. Doable is a good word.
Yeah.
Nice and simple.
Yeah.
One thing I want to pick up before we move into the close, and we've got some time, a little bit of time left, is the comment that you had there about making a plan and about how you're going to be looking to get media for your next book. Now, this is sort of coming from you being a publisher of MJL Publishing. Is this something a little bit different? Because I do know recently and recently that authors who do publish, they expect their publisher to do this media for them. And a lot of publishers don't do that. So is this something that's a bit unique to you, or is it because you are so very much personally involved with the books that you do?
Okay, so a first book was compilation and third book was compilation. The book in between was my book alone. And so really what I've been doing is supporting my authors as best I possibly can, because in doing that, it helps me. So, you know, it's just a collaborative thing, I guess. And, you know, the more, if I'm going to publish, the more books I can sell, then the more time I can spend publishing, because I'm actually making a little bit of money and, you know, I don't have to go and get another job, a real job. And I can keep doing what I'm enjoying. I love saying that I've helped someone to become an author. There are not enough authors. And if I can encourage them then to not just, you know, step up and speak about their story further, I will show them the way. You know, I want to lead the way. And then as I know what I'm doing, I can encourage them to, you know, get the coaching they need, whatever it is that they need to go and do that for themselves. Because I'll come back to, you know, being silent is being selfish. They've got a message. Mm-hmm. You know, the only things that I have published so far have been real stories, you know, by real people who have really important messages to share that can help other people. So in this particular case, yes, my authors are being selfish if they're being silent, in my opinion. And I would like to see them follow my lead and get as much attention for their stories as they possibly can.
I think that's fabulous that you are going to be able to support them with that. And it's probably one of the, I suppose, valuable things of maybe sometimes going with a smaller publisher who has that commitment and time. Nothing against any of the larger or medium-sized publishers. They do brilliant work publishing books. But sometimes the smaller ones have got a little bit of time to be able to support the authors and give them some guidance in getting that media. Would you say that compilations?
Well, I was just going to say the larger, so there's, you know, half a dozen larger traditional publishing companies left, that's all. And they tend now, they will only publish someone who's already got a fairly good following and already, you know, marketing themselves to some degree. They just don't take on new authors anymore. So self-publishing has to be the way to go, and we have to learn to do our own promotion. And then maybe further down the track, you know, someone like Hay House will pick up your book and promote it for you, and they've already got the distribution channels in place. So, but until then, the next best thing is to do your print on demand. And, you know, companies like Lulu and CreateSpace, they do have distribution channels as well. So you can take advantage of those. But you still need to do your own marketing. It really doesn't matter which way you go. You have to learn to step up, speak up, and share your story, or your book will just sit in a box, you know, in the corner of the garage.
And of course, that's why I have my clients. I've seen so many authors in that same, in that same situation. They get this book and it does sit on the shelves, it does sit in boxes, it sits up on Amazon and nobody looks at it and it doesn't move, and it's not going to until you market it. So I think it's brilliant that we've got the smaller publishers pushing the people, giving them a bit of an idea, and then coming to people like me who will get all of them to put in the place the ideas that the publishers are giving them and what you get when you self-publish. And yes, you're very true. There aren't very many big publishers around. They've all merged and they are more interested in whether you've already got the runs on the road. But there are, having said that, as you said, a lot of places, smaller publishers, self-publishing and people, there are a lot of book coaches out there that will help you as an author. I mean, don't let that stop you. There are many avenues for you to get your book out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, absolutely. And one of those is yourself.
That's right.
And that's what we've been speaking about today. looking and how we can be publishing and how we can getting those stories out. And I've been speaking with Deborah Fay about that. And I guess my question to you, Deborah, one of my last questions would be, what do you think great speaker and why?
What do I think makes a great speaker? Okay. Again, I'll come back to being clear about your message. I really enjoy like listening to somebody who has conviction. So somebody who knows exactly what their message is, enjoys doing what they're doing, is passionate about getting the message out there, and isn't waiting for your permission, or, you know, if I'm listening to someone, waiting for my permission for them to tell their story or to speak up and, you know, spread their message. So, you know, if it's not something that resonates with me, that's fine. But even then, I mean, you look at people like, Steve Irwin and the crocodiles and the reptiles. I mean, nobody on the planet has ever, you know, been more excited about reptiles than him. And he has brought that joy to save people who would just gone, ooh, you know. And he's probably one of the greatest examples I can think of. When you are passionate about your message, you know, and you think it's important for somebody and you need to find that somebody, you will step up. That will help you to get past your own, you know, your own insecurities and your own anxiety, because you'll be thinking about who needs to hear your message. And then once, you know, you start doing that, just that authentic passion will come through. And that to me makes a really great speaker. Order in the way in which people present is important as well. But without that passion, you know, people can be really orderly and have a lovely orderly presentation, but it's a bit dull. You know, I like the sparkle as well, I guess.
Yeah, the whole package. Actually, I find it very interesting. I'm glad you mentioned Steve Irwin and that, because I think that's one of the things that people think about their stories and they don't realise, and I think, well, no one wants to hear my stories. But if you've got that passion, I mean, he just stood up there and shared his passion. And I guess in a way you could say he really didn't care if anybody listened or not, because he was just going to tell you what he was really in love with. And because he did that, he got a fantastic people just decided to go on that journey with you, judge what your story is worth.
Exactly. Great lesson from that.
Yeah, because just have that passion and that courage, step up and share your story, and you'll be surprised how many this morning and today. Where can people find you if they want to know more? And do you have anything? Actually, we didn't even get to talk about the Fern Process worksheet, did we?
We didn't. But if someone would like to know more about that, if we're out of time, then certainly people can. Well, for starters, the book is mjlpublications.com.au. And with the worksheet, if people want to just contact me and chat about the Fern Process. So basically, the Fern Process is, it comes out of my book, Six Keys to Happiness. And it is so communication can be very difficult when, you know, we're dealing with people that are different to us. And that's why I thought it might be a good thing to just share today. And it's just very simply, FERN stands for F for fact, F for fiction, ER stands for emotional response, and N stands for need. And it's just a little way to process through, firstly, if we're triggered around something or we're having difficulty with a particular issue or with a particular person, we can just use that process for ourselves to work out what we need. And so separating the fact from fiction is just very simply what happened, as opposed to what we think happened or we're afraid might be happening. So when you get into using this particular process, you realise that much of the time, a lot of our emotional response comes from our fears around what's happening and not what's actually happening. And once you get into the habit of separating the two, that's a great step forward, you know, in communication with yourself and with others, just to begin with. And then from there, being able to identify exactly what it is that you feel around what's happened or what's happening, then helps you to very easily identify what you need. And you can use this process with children. You can use it, you know, with yourself. You can use it with your partner in communicating. And just simply at the end of that asking, you know, what did you hear me say, gives another person the opportunity to, you know, clarify with you what the message you're trying to get across. And so it's, I guess, a way of stepping up and speaking up, you know, around emotional issues, if you like. So if anyone would like, you know, a worksheet, yep, they can go to myjuicylife.com.au and just send me an email and through the contact form, and I'll and tell me that they want the Fern process, and I'll send one out to them. Just a very basic worksheet that they can use. It's also in the book, Six Keys to Happiness. It's along with a whole range of other things. So if they're looking for Six Keys to Happiness, they can go to either of those websites.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Deborah. And I probably will get you back sometime so we can discuss that Fern process in more detail, because I think there's a lot of information in there. Please join me. Thank you, Deborah Fay, for being with us.
Thank you, Trish. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. And just before we end our show, as usual, I will be sharing with you my favourite quote today. And today's quote is, if you can't communicate and talk to other people and get across your ideas, you're giving up on your potential. And that quote is by Warren Buffett. Now, I think that is probably a quote that sums up our whole show today in just those few words. You need to know your goal. You need to know where you're going. You need to know what you want to achieve. And that is looking at, what is this message with this audience at this time and where you are? It is the foundation of what we do in speaking, in life, in our business, in writing a book, needing to know your destination and being able to communicate that you use your whole potential. So it's been with Trish Springsteen at Step Up and Speak Out with Trish today. You can contact me at info@trichel.com.au, trichel.com.au. Connect with me on Facebook, Trichel Innovation Communication Training, or also if you'd like to hear me speak or come to you, at my website, trishspringsteen.com. Today's guest has been Deborah Fay, and as she's mentioned, you can get more information from Deborah at mjlpublications.com.au or myjuicylife.com.au. I've enjoyed having Deborah on today. We will talk to you again in my next show, Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I will be seeing you then. Have a wonderful of your evening or rest of your day.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.